God takes care of us. He watches over us. He is faithful and true. And we are blessed today to be able to come together to worship Him and honor Him. We have the freedoms that those who've gone before us have fought for, died for, and upheld. And it's up to us to continue upholding these privileges so that we can worship God openly. During World War II, General MacArthur called in one of his army engineers and asked, "How long will it take to put a bridge across that river right there?" And the engineer answered, "3 days, sir." MacArthur snapped back, "Okay, good. Have your draftsman make the drawings and do it right away." "Yes, sir." And so he takes off. 3 days later, the general calls in the engineer and asks him how the bridge was coming along. And the engineer reported, "Sir, the bridge is all ready, and you can go across any time, but if you're waiting for the plans, they're not done yet." I know a lot of you like to do little projects and such. I often have ideas of projects that I want to get accomplished, and I'm sometimes delayed because I'm not quite sure how to do it. I need some plans, some drawings, or some ideas, and so I have to reflect on a little bit. But there's other things that I just jump right in and do, and I don't wait for the plans because I basically have a general idea in my mind on what needs to be done. Maybe I've got some previous experience or whatever, and sometimes my plans don't always work out exactly like I think they should, but anyway, I go about it and get it done. And a lot of you are that way also. There's also times when I have to sit back and just wait and make the plan and follow that plan. The Bible reveals to us God's plan of redeeming all humanity because we are all fallen. We are all sinful people. And God wants us to have a relationship with Him like He first started out back there in the book of Genesis with Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, the one-on-one with each and every one of us. And so God has revealed through the Scriptures a plan. And God kept His promises of sending that Redeemer in the person of who? I'm glad I've got one person awake still. Who was it? Jesus Christ. That's why we're here today. God kept His plan by sending Jesus Christ as the fulfillment of His plan of redeeming humankind. God kept those promises, and now He includes us in fulfilling His plan. As believers in Christ, we are assigned the plan of taking the good news into the world. The good news of what? Of salvation, of redemption. The world needs to hear this message. It isn't a complicated plan. And we might say that it's kind of summarized back there in the final verses of the book of Matthew. The Gospel of Matthew also is included in Mark, Luke, and John as they tell the stories of Christ. But let me read those last three verses of Matthew. "And Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, 'All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. And lo, I am with you," how much? "Always, even to the end of the age." So there we have basically our marching orders for every Christian to take the good news, the gospel message, the message of Jesus into the world, to spread it to everybody, to teach those people, baptize those who are believers, and continue teaching them to observe a little bit, no, all that Jesus taught. And we have those words, we have His teachings, we have those recorded in the Bible for us to teach the people around us. The New Testament book of Acts records the beginning of the fulfillment of that plan of God. The entire first century church participated in that plan because they understood that it was a cyclical plan. The apostles were taught to spread everything they learned to the next generation. That next generation was to spread everything they learned on to the next generation. And on it goes, round and round, until it has come to us. We are blessed with knowing about Jesus because somebody took time to learn about Him and share that message with us. Our previous sermon introduced Stephen, who was chosen from the congregation to become one of the first seven deacons serving the church. But Stephen wasn't just lopped into serving dishes. He was also committed to serving Jesus wherever the opportunity rose. He was filled with the power of Christ, and he shared the gospel message of Jesus Christ because he was filled with the love of God. He was concerned about the needs of other people as well. And so we're going to pick up in Acts chapter 6, verse 8, and read to the end of chapter 6 regarding the involvement of Stephen, who loved God, who was a deacon, who was appointed the task of making sure all the widows were fed enough food, along with six other guys. But he didn't stop there. And Stephen, full of grace and power, was performing great wonders and signs among the people. But some men from what was called the synagogue of the freedmen, including both Cyrenians and Alexandrians, and some from Cilicia and Asia, rose up and argued with Stephen. But they were unable to cope with the wisdom and the spirit with which he was speaking. Then they secretly induced men to say, "We have heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and against God." And they stirred up the people and the elders and the scribes. And they came up to him and dragged him away and brought him before the council. They put forward false witnesses who said, "This man incessantly speaks against this holy place and the law. For we have heard him say that this Nazarene, Jesus, will destroy this place and alter the customs which Moses handed down to us." And fixing their gaze on him, all who were sitting in the council saw his face like the face of an angel. It's an interesting description of Stephen as he stands there before the council. Before we get into this any further, would you join me in a word of prayer and ask God for understanding and enlightenment? Thank you, Father, for your scriptures. Thank you for the dedication of servants who have gone before us. Men like Stephen who have dedicated themselves to serving you by serving people around them and speaking your truths about Jesus Christ. We thank you for Jesus, our Lord and our Redeemer, our Savior, who has made the opening. He has become the door to salvation for all humanity. We thank you that we can worship Him and reflect upon Him and learn from the example of others who served Him. Guide us as we reflect upon the life of Stephen. Thank you for servants such as him. Let us be dedicated as he was to serving the Lord of life, Jesus Christ. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I have three major points I want to deal with, the first being that God's plan will be proclaimed by faithful witnesses. Faithful witnesses will speak up about their love for Jesus Christ and God's plan of redemption. Now, Stephen was chosen by the church for his strong faith in the very beginning, his faith in Jesus Christ. In verse 6, his active faith in the Lord led the believers to choose him along with as one of the seven first deacons of the church. And he must have been an outstanding individual out of the thousands and thousands of people. He was one that shone with brilliance with the love of God and the service of God, very active in his life. Stephen was full of the Holy Spirit and of wisdom, we are told here, which met the qualifications that the apostles had required of these seven men to be deacons. He had sought and received the wisdom from God, and you know what? We can do the same thing. in James chapter 1, verse 5 and following, it encourages us, if we need wisdom, where do we go? We turn to God. We ask from God. And we are to ask with a sincere heart, and God will give us wisdom if we sincerely want it. Evidently, Stephen wanted it, and he was full of the wisdom of God. He had asked, and God had faithfully given. Stephen had a good reputation among the fellow believers. Imagine standing out amongst all the thousands, and his, along with six other men's names, come up as honorable, reliable, reputable men who would take care of the church. He was humble before God, and he was respected by the church as being fully surrendered to the Lordship of Christ, and he was out there serving whatever was needed. Stephen was an active witness for Jesus. He spoke about Jesus with boldness and with confidence in the message. He engaged with non-believers, standing firm in the truths of God's Word. He didn't back down. He was bold and courageous, and the Holy Spirit helped him, just as the Holy Spirit promises to help each and every one of us to explain God's Word, to explain God's plan of love and redemption to those that we come in contact with. Jesus told us to rely on the Holy Spirit, that He would give us the right words at the right time when necessary. And Stephen believed in that. And we see that Stephen was helped. He was not overcome by the enemies of God. You know what? As Christians, we can't be a strong witness if we keep our mouths closed. We need to have the willingness to speak openly about Jesus. So brothers and sisters, what do I want you to do? What does Jesus want us to do? Speak up. Speak up. Talk about the blessings of God through Jesus Christ to those that are around you. Be bold with courage. Be led by God's Spirit to say the right things at the right time, but walk in the faith and boldness of Jesus Christ. He is the only Savior available for all humanity. The second point I want to deal with is God's plan will be proclaimed by knowledgeable witnesses. Knowledgeable witnesses. God doesn't just go out on the street corner and pick a person randomly and say, "You're my child." No, we need to be people who have heard the message, understand it, and come to faith and obedience to Christ. You know what? Here recently we've been engaging in some little fun games. And at our fellowship dinners, we've been doing some quizzes, some trivia things. Is that just to kill time? It's a little bit fun. I try to make it fun, but the important thing is that we learn God's Word. And so one of the recent challenges is that I asked you to memorize your books of the Bible. And some of you made the attempt. Well, I want to encourage you some more. There's bookmarks out there with all the books of the Bible. It also shows you how your Bible is laid out in different divisions. The law, the history, the poetry, the prophecy. All of these things. And how your Bible is broken up into groups that relate to each other, that are similar to each other. So there are enough bookmarks out there for all of you. And if you get the last one, don't worry about it. I've got some more in my office. Okay? Learn the books of your Bible so that you are better in tune in learning how to get to the information you need to learn about God's love, not just for you, but for all mankind. Amen? You just said, so be it. So I trust that all of you are going to learn your books of the Bible. We'll have another contest, and it's going to be who can say the books of your Bible the fastest. I'm trying to make a little game out of this as we learn God's Word, the truths of God's Word. And I hope and pray that it doesn't stop at just learning the names, but also getting into reading what those different books are about. We're having the different studies in different classes, and I encourage you to participate as much as possible. At Sunday school, we're doing the book of Job right now. It's an interesting, challenging book. I'm trying to present it so that you can understand why it's there and what it's about. Right now we're doing the book of Acts in our sermons. Our Tuesday morning group is finishing up the book of, anybody remember? Thessalonians or Timothy? It's Timothy, finishing up Timothy, the second book of Timothy. And then men's group, we're doing the book of Genesis. We're about halfway through, but Genesis. Brother Bob thinks I might get done after Christmas. I'm hoping that we might get done before Christmas and just give you a gift. But anyway, and you don't have to be coming to the Bible studies, and even though it is helpful when you have others learning with you, but I encourage you to study God's Word on your own. Stephen was one of those who knew God's Word. He had committed God's Word to his heart. He didn't have all of it memorized word for word from beginning to end, but what scriptures he had available to him, he learned them because they were words of life. They were words of truth, and they still are for us today. So Stephen was a student of the scriptures, and he took time to learn those scriptures and what they meant and how they applied to his life and the lives of everybody around him. All that Stephen spoke to the Sanhedrin did not come to him supernaturally. When he was taken for trial, he didn't walk up there and just wait, okay, God, tell me something. Let me repeat you. No, he understood that there was a basic story throughout the scripture, and he understood how all the scripture fit together in a continuous story of God's love for all humanity, in the fulfillment came in Jesus Christ. He made time to hear God's Word, read God's Word, reflect on God's Word for his own personal life. And I pray and hope that you are doing the same thing. Stephen didn't have the New Testament available to him, but he had the Old Testament. And I'm sure that these scriptures were important to him. Psalm chapter 1, verse 2, that his delight was in the law of the Lord, and that his law was being meditated on day and night. I'm sure that Stephen kept to his heart the message of Psalm 119, verse 11, that he treasured God's word in his heart so that he would not sin against the Lord. Psalm 119, verse 105, that God's word was a lamp to his feet and a light to his path. Stephen listened to and learned the scriptures, and then he listened and learned from the apostles how those scriptures were fulfilled in Jesus, the Messiah. God helps his servants be more than they are on their own. Stephen was blessed with God's wisdom and spirit by being open to God's help. The Apostle Paul warns us, do not quench the Spirit. God's Spirit is given to every believer and he lives within us. But do we allow ourselves to listen to the Spirit, or do we squelch his motivation, his encouragement, the words that he gives to us? We need to be open to following the Spirit and his urging in every situation, just as Stephen did. You have access to the same Holy Spirit, the same power that Stephen had by being a child of God through Jesus Christ. You're not an orphan. You're not on your own. You have God on your side if you have made a commitment to serve Jesus. Amen? Stephen had the Bible record committed to memory. As I mentioned a few moments ago, he didn't memorize all the scripture, although he may have had all of it memorized. We're not told. But he had the important passages memorized. He didn't use a cell phone. He didn't carry around a Bible. He didn't have a pocket full of notes on what he was going to say. but he trusted in God guiding him and the memory that he had developed in being a diligent student of Scripture, committing the truth to memory. And we need to do the same thing. If you haven't committed Scriptures, key Scriptures to memory, I encourage you to work on that. Write it down on a piece of paper, carry it with you, read it over and over again, and get the basic idea of the passage, if not word for word, so that you can honor Jesus with the truth that they need to hear. God's Word is more important than the latest gossip. How much gossip are you keeping up on, and how much do you remember your gossip? Well, isn't Jesus more important than that? How about the sports teams? Oh, I just hit a bad note, didn't I? How often do you find yourself memorizing the scores? And you know what team's doing this and what team's doing that and who's ahead and what players are doing what. How about God's Word? Isn't that more important than one game? We're talking about eternity here. How about the movie stars? I mean, tasting the best recipes, ladies. What is more important? Is it God's Word or the things that are temporary? We need to get our priorities straight and put the emphasis where you find life everlasting. Stephen believed in the message of Scripture with all of his heart. He believed that it was the Lord God, the living God, who gives life, that interacts with people. And God wants us to be His people. God focuses His salvation through Christ, through Christianity. And Stephen accepted that and made it the center of his life. The gospel was not kept from the Jews. He wanted to make sure that all of his kinsmen understood that Jesus died for them too. And if we love God, we will want to reach out to those that are like us, family members, neighbors, friends, and say, I'd sure like to see you in heaven. Do you know Jesus? Have you given your life to Jesus? Unfortunately, we see in our story, and we see it time and again, that these Jews that Stephen was trying to communicate with, they had idolized the temple where they worshipped instead of serving God. They were serving the building. They had idolized Moses, the one whom God worked with to give them the law. They had idolized Moses, through whom God cared about them, instead of worshiping the God who gave the message. They were worshiping themselves as the interpreters of what God could or should or would do instead of listening to the message of Scripture. And so Stephen had a big challenge on his hand. And he expressed to them, reminding them, Stephen systematically listed God's interaction with key saints of history. And this is what chapter 7 is about. We're not going to take time to read it word for word. I encourage you to take time to read it and see how Stephen goes down through the list and shows how God cared for his people wherever they were, not just when they were in Jerusalem. And God did not ask the permission of the Sanhedrin on what to say. God proved himself in his time, in his way, when he wanted to, through the people that he wanted to. And Stephen ends up with showing that Jesus, whom these leaders had crucified, had put to death, was the Messiah. Oh, that made them mad. They got extremely mad because, after all, they tried to get rid of Jesus, and what did he do? They crucified him, and what did he do? He left the tomb. And they couldn't explain why the grave was empty. Then they'd thrown the apostles in jail. What happened there? They disappeared and were found back out in the temple preaching. and the Sanhedrin were upset extremely with the apostles, but what could they do? Well, they beat them. They threatened their lives, and the apostles just kept on preaching. And now they have this guy named Stephen show up, who wasn't even from the local crowd. He wasn't a pure, local, pure person like they were in the right town from the right crowd. And he was telling them about God's Word, teaching them. Who does he think he is? He didn't get permission from us to speak. And so they came to the final decision. They had to get rid of Stephen. It's the message of the Bible, and the message of the Bible is God's Word. Is God's Word just history to us, or is it the living Word that gives us life? We need to decide that. If it's just history, just learn it as history. But if it's the Word of God that gives you life, then live accordingly. Stephen did. And that leads us to the third point. God's plan will be proclaimed by committed witnesses. Stephen was willing to preach in the marketplace. He led others to Jesus as he fulfilled his task of providing food for the widows of the church. Christ was the focus of his speaking in all things. He preached Jesus in the market. Stephen was committed to preach to the enemies of Jesus. He engaged in discussions with Jews from other regions like himself. He was a Hellenistic Jew. He was not one of the local crowd. He came into town from outside. And so he knew how to communicate with these people from other places, Alexandria, from Antioch, and all these other towns. And he engaged in conversation with them, trying to explain to them how Jesus was the fulfillment of all the prophecies. But these other Jews refused to believe in Jesus, just like the Sanhedrin. Instead, they created lies and deceit and false witnesses. Stephen was committed to preach in the face of death. He was brutally drugged into the court of the Sanhedrin under these false charges. This was the same court that convicted and sentenced Jesus. It was the same court that jailed, threatened, and scourged the apostles. And now Stephen stands there alone, by himself. Or is he? No, he's standing there with God on his side because he's preaching the truth of God. Is there enough evidence in our lives that we would be charged as a Christian? If you were drugged before a court, can they convict you of being a Christian? I believe we need to be that kind of people. We need to be speaking about Jesus in everything. How Jesus is important in all aspects of our life. We need to confront those who disagree with our message and share with them patiently, lovingly, graciously the message of Jesus is the Savior for all people. Let's not walk away. Let's don't leave them standing there, but let's boldly face them and trust that the Spirit whom God gives us will give us the right words and to say at the right time. We must trust in God's help and His promises, just as Stephen did. Stephen was faithful to Christ even to the point of death. Even when the enemies did not want to hear anymore, this deacon spoke the whole truth. Even though this council had the life of Stephen in their grip, the servant of Jesus did not falter. Even as the council glared at him with hatred, God blessed him with a vision of the Lord, with Jesus standing at the right hand of God the Father. Even as he was dying, he expressed love for his enemies. Father, don't let this judgment fall on these people. Help them to understand your grace, your mercy. Chapter 7 finishes, the last two verses. They went on stoning Stephen as he called on the Lord and said, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Then falling on his knees, he cried out with a loud voice, Lord, do not hold this sin against them. And having said this, he fell asleep. He fell asleep. We use the term he died. But the scripture tells us death is not the end, is it? We're looking for somebody to come back. Who? Jesus. Jesus is coming back to reward his servants. And Stephen understood that. And we need to understand that no matter what happens to us, we're in the hands of the living one, the Lord God. Stephen stood firm in his faith in Christ, preaching the message of salvation of Christ alone, even though it cost him his life in this world. Stephen knew that the plan of God was more than life on this earth for a few years. Jesus has gone on before us to heaven to prepare a home for us that will last for how long? Forever. Will we be faithful, knowledgeable, and committed witnesses for Jesus Christ? I want to encourage all of us, myself included, be bold witnesses. Stand firm, engage in conversation with people around you, share with them the fact that Jesus is the Lord of life. He died to pay for how much sin? All sin. And if we put our trust in Him and obey Him, our sin is washed away so that we can serve the living God forever. Would you pray with me? Father, be with us and guide us to be Your faithful servants, knowledgeable servants, committed servants, to engage with those around us, to trust in Your help, to be students of Scripture so we understand the overall plan of Your work, and especially how Your Son Jesus, our Lord and our Savior, has paid for our lives totally and completely. Let us be Your servants as You lead us, as You empower us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.